I'm short, intense, but short. Door number two, I will have most of my life to relive. I don't know. To relive all my mistakes, it would be long years, many faults. Then again, it was not that bad, was it? There is door number three. What lies in the mist, through the mist, beyond the mist? Step back, step forward. The great unknown, the great unsolved, the great
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is that any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4 head on. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. your host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Ho, ho, ho! Hey, Blokes and Sheilas. Yes, it's a live show. Let's see if the connection handles it. I think we might have finally found the gremlin. Welcome to the horn, everybody. America's liberal voice. I am your intrepid host, John Fox, down here in the beautiful wilds, as Bob would say, of the central coast of New South Wales. It's good to be back. It's been way too long. It's been a crazy couple of weeks. Still don't have the stupid regular phones going, but we're working on it. Dang it. So we're still doing the Skype thing for tonight. So if you want to get in on the program, we're not taking calls quite yet, but you can find us on Skype at Foxdup, F-O-X-D-U-P. You can check out what's happening today on the show over at the show blog, foxdup.headonradionetwork.com. And it's been a really weird week for me. Okay, and I think Gene, the news ninja, put it best. I told him that I actually did create a Facebook page, and he asked me what caused hell to freeze over. Because I've been bagging Facebook for years. But, you know, sometimes, you know, like being paid to, will make you give in. So, because of some work that I'm doing with a band, I've had to actually learn how this Facebook thing works. And I tell you, it's a bit of a head trip, especially when you're like me, where, you know, you're kind of disconnected from us, from part of your life, and never really looked back. And, you know, it's really weird having contact from some people I haven't talked to, chatted with, had any contact with in like 20 years. And I'm also catching up with some people from, the theater company in Chico, which is probably the best part of the whole experience so far. Get to go and relive some of the glory days of things that we did. It's a good group of people too. And so I'm kind of hoping that I've got a few new listeners here, tonight, as I try and get my audience back, considering I have hardly done a show in the past few weeks. And, you know, like last week, the internet was shaky and we had like sideways rain. Things are blown around the backyard. And what is it today? It's like hot, muggy, you know, welcome to Australia. You don't like the weather, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. Might not exactly be true, but it's been kind of crazy up here in the Central Coast. We've had mad rains, really cold, blustery conditions. You know, a couple weeks ago it looked like Mars over here because of the dust storms. But now I think we're settling into summer proper. Not looking forward to bushfire season this year. I think it's going to be dreadful. My voice sounds different. It's probably because I'm on a different microphone there, Sparky, than I'm normally on. Some of my stuff is with the band gear at the moment, and I haven't picked that stuff up yet, so I'm having to use the ancient SM58, which I think is a bit thin sounding. But, you know, you do what you do. And the other thing that's been kind of weird for me the last couple weeks is I'm suddenly, after having kind of put myself into retirement for a few years, back working with a band in a pub. It's an interesting experience to go back to. It's been a long time. I mentioned this the last show that I was able to do, that I was going to go and do some work with a band called Swivelhead. Now, I could go and do like an album review of this, but I think it would be really dishonest if I were to, because well, I'm working for them. But I reckon it's good stuff. Now I played a track a couple of weeks ago. I'm going to play a couple tonight. Well, because I'd like to see some copies of this album get sold, for one. We're going to be doing some work to try and get the band to South by Southwest next year. And so, you know, adding into the mix of the environment and everything that happens on this show, you'll probably get a little bit of play-by-play of what it's like to try and make your, you know, try and make a project go. Because, there's nothing harder to try and do than to try and make it an entertainment. But these folks have their heads screwed on straight, some amazing musicians, and the gig a couple weeks ago at the Sando in Newtown here in New South Wales was really good. Sold out. Brand new room, first night in the new room, new stage, new PA. It was like you almost couldn't even call it a rock venue. Didn't smell like beer. It didn't smell like urine. The carpeting wasn't all torn up and stained. It was all brand new. But, you know, it all went. It all went. But I'll be showing you some of that stuff. Oh, here we go. I mentioned I'm on Facebook, and here come the emails going, Lottie's added you as a friend, and I bet they'll all start coming now. And yeah, Betsy, I know you're right around the South by Southwest area. So who knows? Next year I could maybe even be there. But you know, it's a good band. It's good stuff. It's played by real people. And what you hear on the album is actually what's played live. Excuse me while I go off on one of my tangents. But hey, that's that. But we got a bunch to get into today. Amongst the various stories, aside from I know the healthcare bill got out of the House and Senate, but I gotta say, only America could fuck something like this up. And for those listening to the show for the first time, would be like, oh no, he's gonna be all America bashing. No. The system in America can take a good idea, and by the time it gets out of the sausage factory, be absolutely the polar opposite of what you were trying to do. Now, part of me is pleased that we actually have some motion, but I mean, we have the whole concept's just been able to be picked apart, you know, and I'm coming from a guy who's lived in two countries with two different national healthcare systems. Both of them very different. Germany, here in Australia. Like I've been telling everybody for ages, none of them are perfect, but they are shitloads better than that for-profit death system that's in America. And the only way you can really make the thing work is to have it open to as many people as possible. And then we end up with these conversations going, will it add to the deficit? Well, no, not if you do it right. And even if the bean counters find that, well, it maybe cost the government and the taxpayers a little money to keep it going, the improved health, the lost downtime for workers and employers. 30% of the money that just goes into insurance company corporate profits could actually go to care. And like I said, you know, you Our system has its issues here. But I guarantee you, no one in this country would think for a fucking second to get rid of it. Neither side of politics. And when you hear this argument, you know, Joe Lieberman, that fuckwit, I swear to God, if there was a God. But that guy, you know, it wasn't all that long ago when he, you know, he was on television shows sitting there going, you know, the public option is the only way. But I think this guy gets his entertainment out of just like fucking things up. He is the monkey wrench. I do not understand why we let people get away with this. And I mean, we know that Lieberman is, you know, the senator from Aetna. We all know this. But why do we let this guy have, you know, to me, it just looks like narcissism. Whatever he can do to make him the story, doesn't matter whether anything good is being done for people. But it's just about him. When the rest of us that are fighting for a decent single-payer system, and look, I don't even live there anymore, and I'm trying to get you all the damn single-payer system. But it's amazing. This is such a no-brainer. But our sausage machine fucks it all up. Drives me nuts. Anyway. Aside from that, which I'll probably get back to later, and I mean, we'll see what happens. See, there is an opportunity here as they hash out between the two bills between the Senate and the House that we could actually end up getting something that's more robust. But I mean, this is not how you negotiate. You go in there asking for more than you want, and then you start compromising. You don't go in there sitting there going, well, here, have all this stuff. We won't have that. You can have this. And then what else would you like us to pull that made it good? I'm going to do some music here in a second. I got one off of Gail that I know that's driving her crazy. For those of you new to the program, Gail is my missus, it's about alternate realities in the UK as America starts looking at the idea of legalizing cannabis, you know, on state levels, and there's some real dialogue happening on the subject of cannabis. And the UK has gone stupid in reefer madness. It's just really weird. And the UK has just kind of gone stupid in a lot of ways. People are saying I sound like Droopy Dog. Do I sound like my voice is transposed? Folks? Huh. Interesting. Or is it just that it's gotten warmer and my voice has dropped because I'm not cold anymore? I don't know. But we're going to get into some of that. Want to talk about Karzai and his brother? Hello! Why am I thinking Pablo Escobar here? But there's tons to do. There's tons to cover. But in the meantime, like I said, we're going to do some music because that's something that we do on this show. And where is it? Play the opening track off of the Swivel Head album. And if you dig this, please go buy it. Swivelhead.com.au. This is the money spent goes straight back to the band, goes straight back to not going to any A&R guy's pocket. Please don't rip this one off. But here, and it's the show opener. This is a great track. Cannot Live Here, Swivel Head. Australia's Swivel Head. Okay, I'm getting the impression here that we've got a bit of a frame rate problem. Like, I sound like Darth Vader. In some way, shape, or form, like, something between my end and the streamer is not happy, but the connection's solid. If that's the case, I might have to reboot the streamer. But I'm waiting for a little bit of a verification from Mr. Bob Kincaid, since he kind of understands the language of which I speak. But in the meantime, so you guys might have gotten a really down-tuned version of Swivelhead. hey, the fun of self-engineering your own program. What are you going to do? So, you know, I'm kind of waiting for a little bit of a response. Ah, finally, Sue's in the chat room there, ZLO. But, hey, this is the fun that we deal with, you know, it's self-engineered radio. You know, no technicians. Bob's going, oh yeah, you are deeper, darker. Not slower. Okay, so that does sound like a frame rate problem. Okay. Wonder if that just should be a reconnect to the streamer. So it just sounds like it's shifting my pitch. Can you feel this? Balls in a wheelbarrow. Right on, Bob. Okay, so it's not like pitch shifted. I can get on with it. It doesn't sound like I'm playing albums through the wrong speed or anything. Cool. Right on. I tell you what, it's bloody turning into a hot afternoon up here in the beautiful central coast of Australia. Should really get air conditioning in the studio. So anyway, well, I got a couple things together. We're going to play a couple of other tunes here, and I'm just going to get a couple stories together. But we'll continue on with, and as I just make sure that all the streaming's all happy and everything looks right, I'll check that compression thing, and maybe I'm squishing it too much. So, in the meantime, what is my current favorite track off the new Alice in Chains album? This is a track called Take Her Out off Black Gives Way to Blue.
Time is due.
right, everybody. Whoa. Uh-oh. Oh, watch that dodgy mic lead. Welcome back, everybody. Too many chats going on, trying to figure out what the hell's going on. And Bob's asking, how broad is 3G penetration service in Australia? It's pretty good. It's pretty good. 97% of the population's covered. I think we even got into 3G before the U.S. for some reason, but, I'm still getting reports that I sound transposed, which is making me really wanna, like, reboot something. Cause if the music all sounds really, really screwball, that's not right. But, hey, I'm on! Shit! I haven't been able to do this for a while. But, you know, that's the way it goes. We're going to be getting a call here in a little while from our good friend, Mr. Bob Kincaid in West Virginia. He's got a bit of a tale to tell, from his DC trip, hanging out with, our good friend Guy James. Glad to see that he's been back on air recently. This network would not be the same if we didn't have Guy James. But, so, I'm still trying to figure. Yeah, okay. I think we definitely have a frame rate issue going on here. So, we're going to. You all are very patient people. You'll deal with this. But at the moment, I'm just going to check something here. Crazy, crazy, crazy. It all looks like it should be happy. Do a Vincent Price thing. I was actually looking for some Vincent Price for today. You know, I was looking for some Halloween-y kind of stuff and just couldn't come up with anything. You know, aside from things off of Michael Jackson albums, and it's just not what I was going for. Okay, everybody's telling me to leave it alone. I have no idea what the music sounds like. That's just what's freaking me out. But... Oh! And here comes Mr. Bob. Mr. Kincaid, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing dandy, John.
Right on, man. You sound a bit scratchy there.
Then maybe we've got problems beyond the computer.
No. Now you sound fine. I guess it was, you know, it's the thing always goes through. It's feeling the connection, I guess, in the beginning. But anyway, you've got something about DC. Now, I was so out of the loop. What trip was this?
Well, you remember last June we were at the Campaign for America's Future?
Yeah.
That's the one where I rode the train up and rode the train back, and we had a diva moment involving a certain person who shan't be named.
Yeah.
This is them. And I ran into their folks again in August at Netroots Nation. Mm-hmm. And then Guy has had a long-standing, very good relationship with them. And we were invited to come and do this event. They're a really good organization that's dedicated to they're nonpartisan, but by the same token, they're dedicated to some really good, serious progressive liberal, policy. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. I heard one of those funny little Skype, the drop of water things in the middle of while I was talking. I wasn't sure if I was even still connected. I had a story that, well, the way it worked out, you know, we got to D.C., and for the first time, what we told them was, look, you know, we want to do a show and everything, but we want what you're doing to be the show. And so we dedicated ourselves to being there behind the table and broadcasting the whole thing, just like we started, you know, we took our baby steps at Netroots Nation in Pittsburgh.
Right.
This time through, we broadcast the whole thing with Guy and I doing patter, you know, in between. And it's, well, it's a part of the evolving idea of what is internet broadcasting.
Right.
Because, it, you know, like with the radio, you know, whether it's conservative or liberal, yada, 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 you know, there's always a radio row. And it's each ego-driven individual doing his show for his set period of time, and they bring you the guests.
Right. Yeah.
And so you get to sit there and you ask the questions and the guest answers the questions and, you know, it's great. But I don't know if Yoda was, oh, the dick factor is not strong enough with this one. and so, you know, I keep looking at it, even though I'm not one, I keep looking at it like a journalist, thinking, you know, the story is what's being said here. So we set up our rig, and we broadcasted the whole blessed conference. And I've still got to finish getting it up on the internet for a variety of reasons, a lot of which has to do with simple exhaustion at the end of the day. But I've got it loaded to a little USB thumb drive thing, and I'm just in love with those little things. If you don't own one, you must. 8 gigs, well, it goes a long way when you're talking about audio.
Oh, yeah.
But anyway, so that's what we set up and did. And it was the first time that anybody had looked at this organization and said, you know, never mind the egos involved. Hi, I'm a talk radio host. It's all about me. It's the first time that anybody looked at him and said, no, it's not all about me. It's about what you're doing here. It's about what they're saying at the podium. It's about the ideas being presented.
Well, and we'll
fill the interstitial spaces.
Yeah, didn't you have kind of a run-in at that last one a little bit where they wanted to rush a guest off too fast, but you weren't done with them, and they just couldn't get the concept of actually wanting to get somewhat in-depth and have a chat?
Oh, no. That's every guest.
Yeah.
Because the guests have all done a gig, you know, behind the podium. But then, you know, you got to get him out of here, and you got to get him to the next show, and you got to get him to the next show. And the herders are there going, go, 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 go. And it's the same thing with, like, doing a book interview. You know, I've done a bunch of them. And what you'll find is that when they send you the review copy of the book, the PR person, who has done a lovely job, sends you a set list, as it were, of questions to ask the author.
Right.
And I've got this kinky little notion that if somebody's going to waste postage sending a book to me, the least I owe the author for the time that's gone into writing it is to read the damn thing.
Absolutely.
And so I read it, and the first thing that happens when I peel the little package open and I pull the book out is I take the PR thing and I go, and I throw it away.
As you should.
Because, thank you very much, I will ask my own damn questions.
That just seems just, you know, I kind of understand where, you know, a lot of people in radio won't be up on every subject. And, you know, you get booking agents doing that, you know, getting the guests in, you know, here's some cleared questions. But
right. But when you're a well-heeled, well-paid, highfalutin celebrity talk radio person, well, you can't be expected to sit around and read books. Why, you've got a champagne cocktail reception to attend for the Ecuadorian Vestal Virgins. You know.
Yeah.
And I recognize the demands on people's time, but I'm a reader. Yeah, reminds me of Bill Hicks. Looks like we got us a reader.
What you reading for?
Yeah, well, basically, so I won't be a Waffle House waitress, but, you know. But I never had the legs for the dress anyway.
So, I
was going to say, I got this working guy story for you.
Okay.
And it will be peppered with the F word.
Woohoo!
The morning of the conference, Guy and I, we were out embarrassing ourselves with fire-roasted meats the night before. What Sophie calls the Horn Home, the Horn Home Office or the Horn Remote Office or something like that. There's a little joint in D.C. we go to, and it's all you can eat for a rather significant amount of money. But it's all you can eat, and it's really good quality. And Guy and I had been out, and we'd eaten, and then we came back, and we went to bed like good boys, in separate beds. And got up the next morning at, what's your phrase, Sparrow's Fart?
Yeah, Sparrow's Fart, that would be it. Really?
Yeah, well, when we got up, the sparrows were just eating the beans. And humped all of our equipment, and there's got to be a better way of doing our equipment, but we humped all of our equipment over to the hotel and got it in there, and, you know, Guy and I are in suits, right? And by the time we get there, the tech crew is already, you know, in the room, you know, we're making everything work. Doing what tech crews do, and you know how I worship at the shrine of the tech guys.
I was worshipped at for a long time.
And still are. But anyway, so they're doing what they do, and, you know, we come in and we ask a couple of questions, and we're standing there in our suits. And an hour or so later, we're back at our table in the corner of the back of the room, and I'm sitting there hauling equipment out and laying down a mixer and firing up computers and checking wires and talking with the audio guy. And one of the camera guys looks over at us and goes, "Holy shit, you're fucking working, people."
Saw the suits and just assumed otherwise?
Yeah. And I'm sitting there, you know, plugging up the mixer and, you know, doing what I do. And he goes, "I have never in my fucking life seen anybody doing what you're doing." I said, "What do you mean?" He says, "I just assumed you were the fucking talent."
Well,
we are the fucking talent.
I love it.
And I reached in my shirt and I pulled out a business card and handed it to him and said, "We're the fucking Horn. We're the talent working guys."
What was his reaction?
He was like, "You do this everywhere we go."
It wouldn't get done if we didn't do it.
And he said, oh, I got a list. But you know what? That was like a trophy, John.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely would be. Absolutely would be. To have someone actually go, wow, I assumed something about you and I was way wrong.
Yeah, and it was a beautiful thing. And when he from that time forward, whatever we wanted, we got.
Yeah.
We were treated with dignity and respect.
Funny.
You know, they had, you know those fucking malt boxes? No, it's a big old box with like 24 XLR connections in it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Patch bay, you know, name
yeah.
various things.
Well, we couldn't get audio from the podium. So, guy looks at me and goes, not a problem. That's a patch of one. Doesn't have any juice. Wait a minute. and changes out the whole thing to a powered unit. And, you know, boom, there's audio to our mixer.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
and then I go up for a smoke. You remember when we went and did Power Shift?
Oh yeah.
Back last February?
Uh-huh.
Well, I went up for a smoke and came back, and then the guy who was doing all the magic back behind the curtain comes out and goes, oh shit, I remember you! We had a cigarette together on the loading dock backstage at Power Shift. You're the guy who's trying to figure out how to build a liberal C-SPAN.
You sure leave a mark. You leave yourself in people's memories, Bob. That's impressive.
You know, one cigarette? Usually there's sex involved. You know, it's just... Because... ever since we talked, I've been thinking about it because I tried to do it and I couldn't make it work. And you told me what you had in your mind for it, and I thought, shit, this will work. And he said, so I'm still scouring the internet and keeping my eyes open for a software video switcher like you were talking about. Because if what you're talking about, if you can find the hardware front end, and you get the software back end, everything changes. And I'm sitting there going, wow, I didn't know I was that cool. And so he says, you know, you got a card this time? I whip him a card and he goes, I'm on top of this. I'll let you know the minute I find it.
No shit. Wow.
Oh, he was such a cool guy. Lives in D.C., you know, gets called in on gigs like this. Good liberal. You know, had to love him. Black pants, black shoes, black shirt, black tie. Yeah.
I vanish when the lights go out.
Like that. If he could wear a black ski mask, he probably would, but it's D.C. and they'd arrest him.
I'm surprised they won't try and arrest him just for wearing so much black.
No, that just means he's less than 30.
Jesus.
It's always fun to go to D.C. and see the fashion trends. Cool weather had set in, and apparently every woman under the age of 40 had gone out and bought a pair of boots. I kid you not.
And so it was just boots everywhere.
In shorts.
Hey, Bob, since I have you on the line, there's something that I had keyed up for today, and I find this really weird. You know how over in the States we've been having this, you know, kind of really surprising over the last year, some real actual conversations about cannabis and seeing moves in places in America that I never expected to see, calls for legalization and things. Over in the UK, now for years, The Independent, which I know you read The Independent, for years, The Independent was all pro-decriminalizing. Then all of a sudden, in the past year or two, they've gone all completely Reefer Madness. I mean, they publish all these articles that, I mean, are stuff that has been debunked for decades. And, you know, it's the gateway drug and the slippery slope thing and all that other shit. Well, we thought that was bad enough. In the UK, there is a thing called the Council on Misuse of Drugs in the UK, which is a group of scientists and other people who advise the government on drug policy. Now, the guy who fronts this thing, who was the leading guy of it, basically came out and said, cannabis is less dangerous than alcohol. It's less dangerous, you know, even ecstasy.
Oh, I'll take cards in that game.
Yeah. So, I mean, this guy's like totally, you know, Mr. Science. He has children, and he gets booted off of the council because he's not giving the government what they want. This is all volunteer. These people are not paid. They're some of the highest people in their fields. And now, members of...
Okay, put that a different way. They're some of the most respected people in their field. They're not the highest people in their fields.
Well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Most highly just regarded. Saying. Highly regarded. I think that's what I intended to say. But, you know, this guy comes out, Dr. Les King, and they completely ignore the science that they're giving them. Fire them because it goes against the drug policy that the government wants. And now members of this board are just up in arms. There looks like there's going to be massive resignations because the guy basically was just pushing that cannabis needed to be reclassified when in the UK they're trying to reclassify it as a worse drug as opposed to reclassifying it as something less potentially harmful. And I've got some audio from the guy where he's on Sky News. And even the interviewer tries to do the thing, well, won't parents be upset with you saying these things? He said, I have kids too. They have tried.
Well, okay. Before you run the audio, just a little bit of background. This house that we live in used to belong to my grandmother.
Yeah.
And bless her heart, she literally tried to absorb every bit of information that she possibly could. And that meant that this was once upon a time an absolute house full of books.
Right.
There are probably mansions out there that didn't have the books in it this house had. Okay? And I would come up here as a teenager, early 20s, whatever, and never had to bring with me anything to read because there was always something fascinating.
Right.
Whether it was the paperback version of The Lost Continent of Mu, I'm kidding, or Everything You Always Wanted to Know About Sex But Were Afraid to Ask, or God's Graves and Scholars. And one day I was just going through one of the many bookcases in here, and I found a book published in 1973 with the pages already yellowing, called Marijuana, the New Prohibition. And it was a book that had been published as a result of a study that was commissioned by the government regarding marijuana But the cannabis, regarding whether or not it was dangerous. And all the data came back, no, it's not. And the government absolutely rebelled, fired all the members of the, all the members of the committee, and suppressed the information, which then had to be brought out in paperback. That was 1973, John. That's what the UK just did in 2009.
Yeah, and it, what I find just absolutely amazing is that you can actually just completely be factual about something, and even people that you think would have some sort of clue, like the Sky News interviewer, you know, was all like, yeah, but don't you think parents will be worried about what you've just said, that ecstasy is less damaging than alcohol? And he said, but it's the truth. And there's more damage done by lying to kids about what the risks are than being honest with them. And it, you know, it was just, you know, well, parents are going to be upset. Well, why should they be upset by actually knowing the truth as opposed to being...
Because then they will have to speak it to their children, John, which will then occasion honest questioning. Because if you look at little Johnny and you say, well, little Johnny, I would prefer that you not smoke cannabis until you're an adult. It's not as dangerous as alcohol. I don't want you doing alcohol until you're an adult. If you say that to little Johnny then looks at you and says, did you?
And you say, but
at that point, it becomes very difficult because parents are unwilling to confront their own hypocrisies.
That I think is one of the most damaging things about the whole kind of just say no kind of vibe. Especially, like, you know, we've talked about this before. When I was in high school during the Reagan Revolution, they used to make claims via scare tactics that were just so patently false. And
this
so
is your brain on drugs.
Oh yeah. I mean, there were posters of deformed unborn fetuses, bloody, saying this is what happens when you smoke pot, right? In the school. I mean, it was just ridiculous. And you know, once kids get older, smarter, especially with the internet where they can go and actually do some research very easily, find out that their parents lied to them about that. Why are they going to trust their parents when it comes to any other subject?
Right, and parents have to be enabled to deal honestly with their kids. And it's really tough to do. I mean, I've been down this road, okay?
Yeah, I've had... dodgy mic. If it ain't one thing, it's another.
Well, you're breaking up a little bit. But
yeah,
I mean,
a little bit of dodgy mic lead action.
So am I sounding really dark and Darth Vader-y, too? I mean, have the message?
No, you're sounding fine coming to me. You're sounding fine. I don't know what the
And you sound is. Like you, but the question is, what do we sound like
on the screen?
Hang on. No, okay, no, I sound like an old drunk.
Okay, so we've got a frame rate thing where everything's pitched down.
Yeah, it is a pitch issue.
Okay.
Oh, speaking of auto-tune and pitch correction. Did you get that video that I sent you?
Oh, that was fantastic! You're talking about the Stephen Hawking and
Carl Sagan thing.
That just gorgeous. That was just awesome.
I bookmarked that. I just want that forever. And okay, here's a creepy moment. But I have this, it's not a bucket list, it's kind of like a kick the bucket list of stuff that I think ought to be played at my funeral. I want that thing played.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. I could definitely see that. I mean,
it was just gorgeous. And for folks who don't know, over at Crooks and Liars, I think it was our buddy Jude who, it was Jude who put me onto it. It was a guy who had taken excerpts from Carl Sagan and Stephen Hawking and used auto-tune, the loathsome, misbegotten, godforsaken auto-tune, and used it to literally create a song made from the spoken words of Carl Sagan and Stephen Hawking. And it is haunting, and it is magnificent and inspiring. And there's one line in there whose words I cannot completely recall that just grab you and drag you around like they own you.
I'll have to, I wish I had thought about it to actually maybe go and get an audio copy of it to play on air, but I actually think watching the video is worth it because they actually take the footage. And what I thought was really amazing about that, Bob, it proves that most people have a certain natural rhythm in the way that they speak, and it's unintentional, but there's very little having to jigger things around. You know, they found like a rhythm and tempo that it kind of sat in.
And that's the thing. I think the first place that human beings found rhythm was in speech.
Yeah. And then we started beating on things, and we had drums. Drumming.
Right, to go with it.
Rap was the first music, probably.
As Agnes knows, the first manifestation of rhythm was when we became self-aware and engaged in sex.
You're probably right there.
It's the first, between that and the heartbeat, there you are. But, John, the other thing I wanted to tell you about, and I didn't want to hijack the program, so
that's
please
all right.
Forgive. Is what went on Friday in D.C.
Okay.
Guy and I did our thing, but then I found out that I was already going to be there, so I talked with the folks at Cold River Mountain Watch and said, hey, you want me there? And they said, hell yeah. There was a protest organized at the headquarters in D.C. of the Environmental Protection Agency.
Okay.
And so I got to test out, technically speaking, and you know how it is, John. We talk about it all the time. Constantly figuring out how the horn can be more relevant, how the horn can be more on the cutting edge, how we can get there first.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about this idea of what we have termed a walkabout rig.
Yes.
And, I've always loved the concept of walkabout. And, that comes out where you are. Because it means going places, but not necessarily doing so with a sort of attentive purpose, but to sort of let the purpose present itself.
Right.
Is that fair?
Yeah. You're going through a little bit of a time of kind of breaking up, but you've cleared up again.
And so we've developed what we call a walkabout rig. And that involves a netbook, and this particular netbook has a 10.5-hour battery on it. And and yet it runs XP. And a sound interface unit that has a built-in compressor, which will take two microphones, or a microphone and a guitar, or a microphone and a microphone that's over a drum, or, you know, whatever,
yeah.
Microphones. And as long as we've got 3G service, which is why I was asking you about 3G penetration and cost, a cell phone that can also be hooked via USB to the netbook, and boom, you're wireless, plugless.
Right.
And I tested that on Friday. And I did just a little bit of walking, broadcasting. No satellites, no 2 million dollar truck, $49 microphone, $200 piece of equipment, $350 computer, $100 cell phone, and whatever the service costs. And as long as there's 3G service, John, it worked. We're there. And this was particularly compelling because Friday was a day in the U.S. of concerted actions. There was an action about mountaintop removal at every single regional EPA office in the United States.
Nice! Nice! Man,
we were there at the headquarters of the EPA in D.C., and the folks at the Rainforest Action Network, RAN.org, R-A-N.org, had coordinated all of this and had set up in D.C. a funeral for the mountains. Okay.
Damn studio phone.
Yeah. And there were like little cardboard tombstones and crosses and banners. And then 13 people went inside the building itself and just sat down and said, "We ain't leaving."
That's fantastic.
Until our needs have been addressed, our concerns have been heard, we're not leaving. And so on the outside, there was a guy playing guitar and a young woman with her acoustic bass, and they sounded great. And they played things like John Prine's Paradise. I addressed the crowd, and Chuck Nelson addressed the crowd, who is a disabled underground coal miner. And Bo Webb from the Coal River Valley addressed the crowd.
Sounds like it went off rather well, and I didn't realize that you guys were having stuff kind of like all over the country. That's amazing. And so was this all Coal River Mountain Watch organized, or was this like multiple different groups?
It was organized. A lot of it was organized by RAN, the Rainforest Action Network. Another portion of it, the New York City end of it, was organized by the Water Keepers Alliance, and our good friend John Wathan was up there. There's a video of him out on YouTube. The story was picked up by the AP. It was picked up by the New York Times. By the time the day was over, there were 9,000 hits on Google, just on one phrase.
Shit.
It was huge. We are building, and the neat thing was, when we first started going door to door inside the EPA, and understand there's like 6 million doors, it was, is Administrator Jackson at home? Oh, I'm sorry, she's out. And then we started going down through the list of the hierarchy. He's not at work. He's not at work. She's not at work. He's not at work. She's not at work. Nobody was there. Apparently, everybody got Friday off. And then the 13 went in and sat down. And they sat in the lobby of the ETA, and they chanted, and they sang songs, and they behaved in perfect, peaceful, nonviolent fashion. And lo and behold, a couple of hours later, the head guy for the entire EPA's PR staff, communication staff, came down. And a letter from Coal River was presented to them. And that day, they did a press release acknowledging our presence and the presence of the protesters, the sit-in protesters inside the building. And frankly, you know, we're doing what we were told to do. It's one of those, you know, you remember when Barack Obama quoted FDR and said, "I like what you're doing. I agree with what you're doing. I want to do what you're doing. Now make me do it."
Yeah.
We're making him do it.
I'm really amazed at the inroads that this subject has made over like the last year. It just really seems like it's really finally gotten a foothold kind of in the consciousness nationally in a way that it wasn't when I first met you. You know, most of the actions were very, very local, you know. I don't remember everybody running down to D.C. when there were hearings for clean water protection. But then again, there was no clean water protection during the Bush administration, so that might be the reason. But it just it's really amazing the fact that, you know, you've got the Rainforest Action Network people have gotten onto it. I mean, this is the way to bring this damn thing to an end. Is Robert Kennedy Jr. still kind of hot on this topic still?
Well, like I said, there was a huge protest in New York City at J.P. Morgan Chase because they are the last bank that continues to write checks for Massey Energy and the coal industry in general for mountaintop removal. See, none of this can happen if the banking industry isn't willing to go out and finance this garbage. And J.P. Morgan Chase is the last major bank out there that's still on board with mountaintop removal. And so there was a huge protest in New York City that my buddy and fellow Alabamian John Waffen was at, the Hurricane Creek Keeper, and Waterkeepers organized, and that's Bobby Kennedy Jr.'s organization.
Right.
And they were up, and they held a carnival of destruction.
Sounds full on.
Yeah, it was, and you know, with it being the day before Halloween, you know, it was rife with symbolism. And so when I was interviewed, and it's on the YouTube video out there, I said, you know, either we stop the blasting on Coal River Mountain, or the coal industry will get its wish, and they will do what they have always done, and they will leave Appalachia a ghost town. On the day before Halloween, what more can you ask?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, it sounds like an amazing day. I'll have to go and check out the videos. Are those videos like at the Coal River Mountain Watch YouTube page?
I don't know if they are or not. They're on YouTube. I will send you the links.
Okay, man. We got to get those.
And frankly, they probably need to go up on the Horn website.
Yeah. Send me the links. We'll get them up there straight away. But that's fantastic, man. Because like I just knew that you were gone. I really had no idea what the hell was going on. Just because I've been busy, you know, half a planet away, I miss things. But I mean, it sounds like you had a great one with Guy. What's the next trip on the agenda? Do we have one?
Well, it looks like we've got a it looks like we may have a January gig. And I was talking with our colleague Rick Smith up in Pennsylvania, and there may be a gig up in Pennsylvania. I need to talk with a guy and make sure that our dates are, you know, copacetic. And then in June, there's the annual Take Back America, or America's Future Now conference. There's great conversations going on, and I think this could, I think this could really be a step forward for the Horn, because one of the nice things about the Campaign for America's Future is that we have complained long and loudly that there's a bunch of liberals and progressives out there who don't get talk radio. God bless them. The Campaign for America's Future does.
Well, we've been doing that one for a few years now. I mean, Guy started going to that, has been going to that thing for years, hasn't he?
Yeah, he has. That's where Guy met Bruce Birch. That's where Bruce Birch met another individual whose name shall not be mentioned.
Yeah, we won't go there.
But it's all, you know, it's also doable. And frankly, I think we've really taken a significant next step in understanding that sometimes at these conferences, the conference itself is the story. And if we, and this sort of comes into, it comes into my concept of creating the Von Kincaid family singers with everything except, Margie Ferg and Doodle going over the Alps and climb every mountain. Hell, we make them doing that. They've all had chorus. But I've got between now and June to sit down and actively teach them what Daddy does for a living.
So they can do it.
You know, what I pitched is that we'd like to show up in June, and we'd like to broadcast the whole conference, every room on a different stream.
Well,
and I'm gonna have to put the family to work to do that, as well as several members of the Horn grown-up family. Now, I'll lay this out to you, and we will talk about it later off air, perhaps. But you've got 7 months' notice, John Fox.
Yeah.
And I'm going to do everything in my power to make the money happen. But you've got 7 months' notice that we are going to be in Las Vegas in late July of 2010.
You want me there, don't you?
I want you there.
What time are you? I'll have to check. I can't remember what time of year bloody South by Southwest is, because if I get lucky, I could be coming over for that, too.
Well, find out, but Netroots Nation is going to be huge this year because it's an off-year election. And if you followed any of the stories out of that, what is it, New York's 23rd? You know that the Republican Party is going absolutely flesh-eating mad.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean,
to the point that the Republican Party candidate dropped out of an election.
Oh, I know, man. They're so freaked out. You got the GOP.
What's her name? Scoza Fava? She bailed. For all I know, she was getting death threats from the right wing.
Well, yeah,
because teabaggers were on her like stink on poo.
Yeah, and you had Republicans backing one candidate and the conservatives backing another.
Right, they formed a separate party. That's the thing.
This is what I keep hoping is going to happen, man. I really hope that party absolutely just self-destructs and splits.
Well, they are. What they're going to do is, you know, the animal wants more meat, and the thing is, they've run out of liberal meat to eat, and now they're eating themselves. And New York proves it.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
It doesn't say anything good about the so-called teabagger movement. It says that the Republican Party is fast becoming utterly irrelevant. Now the thing that becomes important for us as liberals and progressives and perhaps Democrats is that we now begin dragging, kicking and screaming in some instances, our party back to the center. I'm not saying to the left because we're nowhere near left. We're following the healthcare debate, you know that.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, ever since 1980, what is considered the center just, you know, moved so far right. You know, I mean, you know, I would actually have considered myself a centrist 20 years ago. But with the way that the scope has shifted, I'm a fucking freaking leftist now. You know, like, I'm, like, off the scale the other way because the center is, like, so far fucking right.
Yeah, every now and then I have to go and remind myself that, actually, I'm not a hardcore. You know, I'm a little worse. And one of the best ways for me to do that is to go to submedia.tv. submedia.tv. And then I understand that no. I'm Ward freaking Cleaver. But I also
I don't know about that, Bob.
No, I am. I am so Ward Cleaver. Those guys wouldn't speak to me. You know, you're an elitist liberal member of the law. I know the language. And I only say that because there is so much of this planet that is utterly disenchanted with how this planet works. And if you get the chance, John, when I get this thing uploaded, and I promise I'm going to finish it tonight, when I get this thing uploaded, it'll probably be in like 6 pieces because we were there all day long.
Right.
For this conference on building the new economy. You know, there was nobody in ski masks. Nobody was there, you know, repeatedly turning over a symbolic mailbox, you know. No. There was nothing but a bunch of serious, honest to God, straight up discussion about where the economy stands and what makes the economy go forward and work. And when you hear the conversation about China, or the discussion, or the lecture, or whatever you want to call it, about China, and you hear some of the details, your hair will catch fire, and the ones that don't will stand up really straight on the back of your neck, and you'll go, holy crap, as it stands right now, we're screwed.
Is this in reference to how much China owns of our debt?
But a whole bunch more.
But are we talking about what's going on environmentally over there? Just the size of the nation and the workforce, the amount of English speakers in China, like outnumbers the number of Americans?
No, because I was really, really proud of Leo Girard, the president of the United Steelworkers. Okay.
Yeah.
Leo's a good guy. He's an impressive labor leader. And in the middle of talking about all this China stuff, he said, I want to stop right now and I want to say one thing. He said, I am a trade unionist. I believe in the power of working people. I am not talking about the Chinese people one iota. I am talking about a system that has been created by the Chinese government in connivance with other governments of this globe that oppresses working people all over this globe. And I really needed to hear that.
Well, it's so spot on to the truth, you know. I mean,
because what he's talking about is, for instance, if an American company wants to do business, and this is just a throwaway, but if an American company wants to do business in China, wants to build a plant to build crap in China, they have to sign an agreement with the Chinese government that says that for the first 5 years of that plant's existence, everything it makes will be made for export from China. And everything that they do will be hand-delivered, technology speaking, to the government of the People's Republic of China. Every technological advance, every invention, everything.
I saw this exact thing happen in with the Koreans and musical instruments starting in the 80s. Everyone's,
but they weren't nearly as insidious as the Chinese are.
Oh yeah. mate. Samick, that company? The company is almost like a religion. And the founder is almost considered a god. And very similar kind of thing. Now, you don't have the government directly.
Oh, I know from Samick. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Right. And basically, you know, after a few years, it was like, oh, thanks, Gibson and Fender, for teaching us how to make all these really, really wonderful guitars. Now you can go and have your low-line guitars made somewhere else, and we're going to start using all that knowledge you gave us to make our own.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, where those are concerned, you know, there's a cachet to an American Fender, a cachet to an American Gibson. And it goes beyond cachet because it's the real luthier's art. But I know exactly what you're talking about.
But, you know, what you're saying about China there, you know, see, this is where, you know, having government and business being one gets really scary. You know,
right? Because like, that's not, you know, they may call themselves the People's Republic of China, and they may call themselves Chinese, and call themselves communist. But you know what? A long time ago, a skinhead in Italy said that when you marry corporate power to government power, you wind up with fascism.
Bingo.
And I refuse to acknowledge the People's Republic of China as a communist state.
It's not.
It's a fascist state.
Absolutely. And it has this kind of like Western little conclave, which is Hong Kong, that allows them to do all the look at how modern we are PR.
Oh, and don't forget their free trade zones. But yeah, Hong Kong. Oh, look, we're going to invite Sarah Palin to come and speak.
That's scary shit, man. I'd like to know, and we'll probably never be able to find out, Bob, but I'd like to know how many Palin heads will end up buying the wrong book. You've seen that one that they made?
Rogue versus Rouge?
Yeah. It's one of those, you know, we'll never actually know, but I just absolutely laugh my ass off thinking, you know, how many of her supporters went straight out there, don't even know the difference between, you know, Rogue and Rouge, and buy the book without even reading the subtitle, which is something like An American Nightmare. But
well, we may find.
Go ahead.
Actually, that may be discoverable if some intrepid blogger wants to get hold of Barnes & Noble and Amazon and Powell's and that bunch and find out not the number of purchases but the number of returns.
Yeah, that'll probably be a good one. And I might actually have a little bit of an inside to Alaska due to the fact that I've taken the Farcebook plunge. I have connected with a friend of mine that I haven't talked to in 20 years, and she's a blogger in Alaska.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And I want to have a bit of chat with her because I've been having a little bit of a look, and let's just say she's not exactly a Palin supporter. So I'm hoping to be able to get some time to have a chat with her and see if maybe we can actually get some inside Alaska view. I think it would just be too good. Because I've just seen pictures of her, you know, stay the pluck out of D.C. Or stay the puck, sorry.
David from Tennessee sent me a link the other day to a colloquy on TV about where Glenn Beck and Bill O'Reilly were talking, and Glenn Beck predicted that Sarah Palin would form a third party and a third party would win the presidency.
Ah, that's just so insane, but that's Glenn Beck.
And I desperately, you know, I want, please understand, I want Sarah Palin to run as a third party candidate.
Oh, I think it would be fucking brilliant. I think it would be one of the funniest train wrecks ever to watch.
Because as frustrating as it is for people on the left or liberals or progressives or whatever word you want to use, you know, Barack Obama's not going far enough and fast enough to suit us.
Absolutely.
And I am frustrated almost at every turn with what he's doing. But the fact of the matter is, I want him to get a second term.
Well, I mean, you know, it does come
and
down.
And frankly, nothing would ensure a second term like a Palin third-party presidential candidacy.
And
run, Sarah, run.
Yeah. I was hearing reports that she was going to go and speak in Iowa, but there was something about $100,000 speaking.
Yeah, game. she wanted 100 large to leave. What's his face and his snow machine. She wanted 100 large. And Iowa said, wait a minute. She should be honored that we're asking her.
Yeah.
This is Iowa.
Yeah, it's the first primary state. This is the whole point why people go to Iowa. Well, in politics at least. Unless you're into corn.
No, there's some other stuff. There's the Iowa Writers Workshop in Iowa City that I always wanted to go to, but never will. Yeah.
Well, I mean, half my family is from Iowa, so I'm not actually bagging the place. It's a pretty place.
Well, and I'm gonna ring off from you now that I've hijacked your show for half of it.
That's all right.
But I want to mark something before I go, if I may, please.
Yeah.
It's a year now that our good friend Kenny Bollies from WD40.com has been gone.
Right.
And you're mentioning Iowa reminded me because his Iowa Hawkeyes are undefeated through the college football season thus far. And I want them to remain undefeated.
I was thinking about
Clyde the other day, and I was thinking about how much I miss him because he was always good for a hey bro look at this, and and I don't know what's going on with morningconstitution.com because I haven't heard much from Wally and Dookie. But it's that time of year, and I've been thinking a lot about Clyde. And I just kind of want to put it out into the universe that, you know, we're still thinking about him.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And on a much more pleasant note, it's also Cassie's 18th birthday today.
It is Cassie's 18th birthday today, and we want to wish her a huge happy birthday.
Absolutely. 18.
And tell her 18, and you know, we've been with her for a little less than a quarter of her life. And it's inspiring to know that, and so inspiring to see how hard she's worked and how far, how much work she's done on how far I think she will wind up going.
Everybody get out of the way. Just everybody get out of Cassie's way. That's all I can say. She is one of the hardest working people I've ever known. I'm gonna break this thing of calling her kiddo. I think it's pushing on the insulting. But you know, we've known her since, you know, all the rigmarole with her brother getting ready to be shipped off and her with no other family and with Mike Malloy and getting his deployment changed and all that other stuff. It's been a hell of a road, and wait until she gets to college.
You know, I don't think she'll forget about us. And I think we will continue to get updates from wherever she winds up. And I'm pretty sure she's going to wind up somewhere pretty doggone special.
I know she had a Princeton interview. That'd be a good one. I could see her at Princeton. For sure. But anyway, I'm going to let
Agnes just stopped to write me a note, and she said, it's our humanity that gives us pause to be happy.
Happy birthday.
Hey, Agnes.
Hey, Agnes.
Hey.
You know, every now and then I get reminded that I'm married to someone somewhere between Gandhi and Genghis Khan.
I don't know how to respond to that, Bob. So with that, I'm going to let you go, and I'm going to play some music and take a little break myself. But, man, great to chat with you. Great to hear about what went down in D.C. Great that you and Guy got to go and do the thing.
There's more stories to be told on tomorrow night's show, so I'm looking forward to it.
All right, mate. Well, I'll be listening tomorrow, and for everybody else, that's 6 p.m. Eastern time here on the Horn. Bob Kincaid with Head On. It should be good, as it always is. Always good to talk to you,
my
friend.
John, you take care.
All right, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Great show tonight, even though we both sounded like Darth Vader.
Hey, what are you going to do? Hell, I'm on. All right, man. Take care of yourself.
All right, later.
All right.
Bye.
And the mighty Bob Kincaid. So with that, we're going to take a little break. We're going to play the song that must be played once a show, and then we'll come back with the hour two intro a half an hour late. But, hell, that's how things happen here on in Conversation Radio World. So without further ado, Mr. Michael Ferranti and Spearhead, Stay Human.
Starvation is a creation of the devil, the rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow, bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle, to be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert, dried up like the skin of a lizard, but full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd, scratch my itch like a needle on the record.
Full of life like a man going to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring. I speak low, but I'm like a lion roaring. Baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. Tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The negativity, we keep it at a distance. Call for backup and I'll give you some assistance. Like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion. Rock and roll upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and you're underwater breathing. To be rhyming without a real reason is to claim and not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception. Beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system. To legalize you or give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Aha. We saw the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why 2K and 2 is a moment. In time we find that we can open up a heart that's locked or been broken. By the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns are still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by banging Testarossa. We need to hear the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas, steam your body in a stereo sauna, sauna. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay here.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. A bit of Australia's The Screaming Jets! Getting to the heart of the matter. What an awesome band! They're back out on the road again. Gonna have to try and find those boys and see how things are going. It's been a long time since we shot that DVD. Australia's greatest rock and roll band. After AC/DC. Sorry, I had to go a little bit more of that. I haven't listened to that in ages. That was like standard fare back in the old Fourth Estate radio days when it was me and the Mr. Bruce Birch. Jesus, those were the fun early days of the horn. And geez, 4 years ago! Still trying to get my head around the fact that we've been able to keep this little beast that we created alive. So many have come and gone. So many have gone bankrupt. But we're still here. It's good stuff. And back to... Thanks to Bob Kincaid for ringing in a little while ago. I'd love to hear about the D.C. trip. And if you're new to the program, please, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday, Eastern Time, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Please tune in. You'll love it. Some of the best conversation you'll ever hear. And Bob, if you're listening, Gail and I reckon we need to have a little bit of an edit Don't you hate when things go out of your head just when you need them? Oh, yeah, Juanita from Little Feet. We need to have a little edit of Juanita for when Juanita rings your show. we were listening to that record on the weekend too. But y'all catch this thing that popped up on the New York. I think the New York Times had it. The Times Online in the UK, The Guardian as well, about Hamid Karzai's brother being on the CIA payroll. You know, it's starting to hear that, you know, starting to sound like we're getting back into the drugs and arms game. I mean, really. One of America's favorite international pastimes. And, you know, there's people bitching and moaning that, you know, Obama hasn't made a decision on Afghanistan yet. I'll tell you what. We needed to rethink on the whole mess anyway. But if the former oil executive that we installed in the government that we put up hardly has control of, like, his own little capital city, and his brother, who is suspected to be one of the biggest in the heroin trade, is on the CIA payroll? I mean, really? Where do we get out of this? Where do we get something out of this? Aside from just continuing this absolute mess, I mean, did no one learn a fucking thing about what the Russians went through? And I've said it before, you know, the heroin problem globally wasn't anything like it is today before we went in. And it just seems to be this thing. We in America, or our government seems to be really, really good at getting into narcotics. You know, I'm really getting to the point where it's like we should just get the fuck out. I mean, just cannot wrap my head around why we're there. What is the objective? What's the purpose? And it just seems to be a thing that just continues to go on and on. Without end, without discussion. But, you know, if we're paying both sides of an internal battle, I mean, we're like the biggest dipshits in the world sometimes. Oh, yeah, have some money. Just completely make what we're trying to do here impossible. Here, have some more money. The fuck? You know, and anyone that says, you know, well, we had to go into there because that's where Osama bin Laden was, wah, 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 wah. Sorry, not buying it. It's about a fucking pipeline. But, I mean, just the idea that this guy's on the payroll. I mean, no wonder no one in the world believes shit we say. It's unbelievably frustrating. Let's play some music. It's getting me mad. Oh, what do I want to play? Let's play something that I haven't played in a while. Let's do a little bit of Days of the New. This happens to be a favorite song of the guys serving overseas. I know this is on a lot of playlists. And I understand why this would be on a playlist of a guy who's in the middle of a country that he doesn't, you know, that is nothing like home. Not sure if he's going to make it back or not. Off of Days of the New 3, this is Die Born.
Keep me running wild. Keep me innocent.
little bit of Days of the New, Mr. Travis Meeks off of Days of the New 3. It's such a great song. I love that song. So much punch, so much passion. That's what music's supposed to be about. I reference Mr. Bill Hicks. And I while I was playing that song, sneak outside for a cigarette, and I swear having chickens is hysterical. I think they thought I was coming out to play, and suddenly there's these two chickens just absolutely hauling ass across the backyard, just like, come on out and play! And then I had to run, and blocking the door, couldn't back inside, get back inside. They're so curious about getting inside the house. It's like the one place on the property that they have not been allowed to get into, and I have a feeling they're probably at the back screen door sitting there trying to peck through the cat door. There you go. That's me going on a tangent. So let's do a little music, finish out the hour, and we'll come back and take some calls maybe. Haven't heard from Sparky yet this week, and we'll do some music and be bad. Lottie during the song said, John, the CIA is the best drug shipping company on the planet when it positively, absolutely has to be there overnight. You nailed that right, man. All them C5s that were all registered to the forestry department that were bringing cocaine back from Colombia. Tanya! United States is really good at making money off of the drug trade. And then making even more money off of it by making them illegal. It's crazy! It's insane! But on that, just because this whole thing with Karzai is making me just think Pablo Escobar for some reason. I know it's not exactly the same, but still, for some reason, you know, it just harkens back. So we're going to go back to, we're going to do another Screaming Jets tune. It's off the EP, Heart of the Matter, released a couple of years back. This is Pablo.
Introducing Pablo Escobar, trained at the School of the Americas. Another day making hay up in Hollywood. Friends in a
a great track. And to round out the hour, a bit of the Black Crowes. This is one of my favorite guitar noises of all time. The best thing like Zeppelin since Zeppelin. Midnight from the Inside Out.
We'll be right back.
you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up for the third and final hour here on America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network, having just celebrated our fourth anniversary. Woohoo! And once again, happy birthday, Cassie. Happy 18th, my dear. You're our little hero. You're amazing. Best of luck when you go off to uni. What are we doing? What are we doing? Oh. That's what we're doing. First, I gotta make that go away, even though I love listening to it. And we got to go to the phones because, well, we have News Ninja Gene. How you going, Gene?
Hey, John. How's it going?
Oh, doing fine. Doing fine. It's very nice to be on air and not get bumped off. But welcome, welcome to the Darth Vader room.
Actually, you sound pretty good right now.
It's only on that streaming end. I don't know why, but hell. It's a dark show. What are we going to do?
Yeah, I'm just wondering what my two-pack-a-day smoker voice is sounding like. Anyway, I just have something real quick. For folks in the chat room, well, first of all, I got to do this. Hello to my own personal groupie from the UK. Yes, and you dare me to shout you out. There you go. For you
Uh-oh, News Ninja's got a fan. Uh-oh.
Yes, I got that. And for the folks in the chat room, I just want you to know that fellow chatter, Amber, made it down to Phoenix last week. Now, the news I got is a little bit old because I went and got sick. So, and between being sick and Bob's schedule, I couldn't call and sit her. She left on Monday afternoon, got down there about 7 o'clock at night, finally found a place to check in to at a hospital, I think, at like 3 a.m. the next morning. But they did check her in, so I guess she's down there. She's probably looking for housing down there because she just has had enough of Portland weather and the healthcare situation she was under up here. So that's the story that I know right now. And as soon as I know more, I'll let you all know. Hopefully, she said once she got settled, she'd come back into the chat room and say hi to us all and let us know what's going on. So that's my little bit of chat room news.
Okay, as we keep tabs on all our little horn family members as they kind of go off and do things, you know. But we are like that. We get worried when we don't hear from people. But you got to have something more news like that you rang in with.
Well, actually, I did just see, and I didn't get a chance to read this, but apparently, the zinc air batteries are really beginning to come into their own with, as far as 3 times the energy of lithium ion batteries. Currently, let me just fire this up real quick. So that sounds good because I'm kind of a fan of zinc air. That means we don't have to go down to all that lithium mass. Bolivia, I think.
Right. So, oh, yeah.
So apparently, they're getting ready 3 times the energy of lithium-ion batteries. So, and the rechargeable thick air, they're coming to market. This is leading to technology review, and I'll put it up in the chat room for you. And you can also go down. And I just wanted to pop in real quick with that might be a little bit of news. And by the way, are you going to run that video for the or the audio for the UK guy?
Oh, no, I've got it. I just haven't gotten around to playing it yet.
Okay.
I should actually get back to there. I did kind of go off on a few tangents with Bob as we tend to do. These batteries that you're talking about, I might have missed these. Who's developing these? Are these being developed by one of the automakers, one of the alternative car makers,
the Swiss company says it has developed rechargeable zinc air batteries and can store 3 times the energy of a lithium-ion battery by volume while costing only half as much. Revolt of Stepa, Switzerland, I guess.
Oh, okay. Oh, right. Revolt. Okay. Yeah. Because they're also working on the idea of which is starting to catch on that to make electric cars work in longer journeys is that you actually need to have infrastructure where batteries can just be swapped out. And I think Revolt, if I remember correctly, was one of the first companies to actually look into making them easily replaceable. So, you know, because they're actually putting this infrastructure in Holland and in Germany and whatnot at the moment so that okay, if you only have 200 kilometers range, well, you know, before you run out of power, you pull off at a station, and a guy with a little robot comes and pulls your battery, your dead battery out, and puts a fresh one in, and off you go.
Which means pretty much you're doing it just about everywhere, but, well, here. that's not true, although I think, as I recall, I just saw something last week on Ford is cool to the idea of having their batteries swapped out. But I didn't really get a chance to look at it because I know that biological warfare agent just kind of popped in and
biological warfare agent that we're not sure was H1N1 or not.
Well, no, it probably wasn't Oink because Oink, Bob had Oink and Bob was down for a week. And if I had had Oink, I'd be down for, probably 3 months. I'll know tomorrow when I go see the doctor. So hopefully everything will be cool and I'll let y'all know about that. And with that, I will let you go. So
all right, man.
Get to the calls.
All right, buddy. Thanks for everything you do, and we'll speak with you soon. And feel better, man.
I will. Thank you.
All right. And that's our good buddy, the news ninja extraordinaire, Mr. Gene. And, you know, because he reads the entire internet every freaking day. We're going to take a little break and maybe set up for another phone call here because it just, you know, this is supposed to be somewhat of a music program. So being that it's Halloween, I think we should play a bit of Alice Cooper. Here you go. Welcome to my nightmare. The one, the only, Mr. Alice Cooper. Gotta love him. And speaking of nightmares, we got our good friend David from Maine on the line. How you going, David?
Hello, John.
Smart-ass fucker.
What?
It's not slow, it's just low, right? And it sounds...
John, I thought you were chopped and screwed for a minute. I thought you were broadcasting from Dallas. And we were going to get out. And we were going to get out the syrup, if you know what I'm saying.
So it's not slow. It's just really low.
Yeah, it was transposed a little bit. It's like I said to you before in your I said, you know, John, you sound like a part-time Dateline informant.
I laugh too much to be full-time.
So, before we start with the good news and the depressing news, let's go with a musical antidote that I think you will find funny and hilarious, and it involves our good friend Prince. Well, he's not our friend because we don't know him.
No.
But apparently, an engineer has come out and decided he wants to share a little bit of his memories with what it was like working at Paisley Park.
Ooh. Isn't there that whole confidentiality agreement thing that Prince makes his musicians and whatnot people sign? Like you're not allowed to talk?
That's true, but this guy is a motor mouth. Holy cow. Apparently the guy's posting under a name called Chronic Freeze, and he decides to recollect his Prince stories that he has through a Q&A series on the forum Prince.org. Anyways, one of the most interesting stories, John, I think you'll find it funny, is that one time... Prince literally wanted to put an amplifier in underwater while he was playing it, while it was plugged in.
That wouldn't surprise me at all. He's like, he's sitting on, someone told me once my sound needed to be wetter.
Yeah, he said, I just want to see what it sounds like, so guys hook it up. That's the way Prince works. When you want something to get done, doesn't matter what the danger is. He just wants it to happen. So they had to try to figure out a way how to do it a different alternate way around, so they wouldn't have to do it. They ended up using, I kid you not, one of the purple Trojan condom to get the sound to a watery sound by covering a microphone and using a few flange effects. And Prince was happy with that sound.
I'm just imagining, you know, them ringing up and having some guy come and bring like a portable tank. And then like this winch lowering some like really gorgeous like old Fender Twin.
Yeah,
you know, and just the second it hits the water, dog, you know.
You know, I think if they did put the amplifier in the water, it might knock some sense into Prince how to treat his coworkers.
Well, no. They had to make sure that there was a guitar plugged in and on Prince.
Yeah.
With his lips on a microphone.
Yeah, something to that effect. So the other story that I like to share with, there's tons. I'm going to have to send you the link so you can just read them for yourselves, John, because he just keeps going. And going and going, just like the Energizer Bunny. But this one is rather funny and rather bizarre at the same time. So apparently at Paisley Park, they get bored a lot, John. I know that surprises the hell out of you.
Get bored in the studio like that never happens.
Yeah. So Well, I guess they decided to do karaoke. Oh, boy. You know where this one's going. So they decided to karaoke Prince songs, and they did a cardinal sin. They recorded them on a tape. Well, they left the tape lying around, and Prince decides to pick up this tape, and he runs out to his car, because that's how he plays tapes, I guess, at Paisley Park. He runs out to his car in the driveway, puts it in, and he hears these people cackling along to Let's Go Crazy and When Doves Cry, and, you know, the Prince hits to a tone-deaf voice. And this doesn't amuse Prince, because if people, if you really want to know what it's like living in Prince world, well, have you ever seen a Weird Al Yankovic Prince parody? Do you think he tried at least? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
But Prince would never in a million years let Weird Al Yankovic parody. So you can imagine to his dismay hearing this on the, hearing this on tape. So now this is an example, John, of the psychology of Prince and what he does when he catches you in the act. And this is a perfect example of the unpredictable genius that you get when you sign up for a job like this. So he decides to call someone on the phone who did it. Who made this tape, and the woman who was also part of the prank, she came in and she said, "Oh my God, Prince has the tape and he's gonna call us." He just found out, so they're sitting around for the phone call, and you can hear one engineer saying, "Yeah." No, we didn't mean it as a joke. We didn't mean it as a joke. When it finally got around to this engineer who was recollecting the story, he said, the first thing that Prince said, "Well, if it isn't Mr. Let's Go Crazy himself." And then he had to explain, "No," he goes, "we really love your music." He goes, we were just clowning around. He's like, "I understand." He goes, "But since you guys wanted to laugh at my expense, I want to laugh at you for a change."
Oh,
he goes, will you come to my mansion right now? And they said, right now? And they said, "Yeah, we're doing a session." He's like, "That's okay. Come to my mansion." He goes, I just want to laugh." So they go to his mansion, and they go through the gates. The bodyguard lets them in. And they're sitting by the poolside, and in these deck chairs, Prince comes out the back door and says, "Well, what are you waiting for? Jump in!"
Uh-oh.
Wait, it gets worse, John. It gets worse. This is the kind of douchebag Prince is.
Oh yeah. He can be a king douchebag. He is like the modern version of Buddy Rich, man.
Right. I mean, worse than that, John. This is what he does. He says, "All right, so everybody jump in the pool," and all three of them are just around like, "You got to be kidding." So they start taking off their shoes and their glasses, and Prince says, "No, I want you to jump in the pool with your glasses and everything on." So they literally jump in the pool, and he goes, now we're even. And then he walks away.
That was it?
Yeah, so, but here's the worst part. They jumped in the pool, they got wet, but see, John, they had to go back to the session and finish their many multiple hours session with their clothes all wet. With no change. Nothing, just and having to recall the story to the people who were asking them.
You know, funny thing happened on the way to the studio.
Right.
Shit.
So that was an example of one of the great stories in that thread. I'll send you a link, John, so you can you'd be interested in hearing the details on how they recorded a lot of sounds and did a lot of production details and miking and stuff like that. It's really a fascinating read, and this guy is quite the, like I said, he's quite the motor mouth, and he and he reveals a lot of tech stuff at Paisley Park, which I've always found a fascinating studio. For people who don't know, it's in the middle of a cornfield, and it was regarded as a world-class facility in the early 90s. But as you know, John, that completely dismantled itself in the mid to late 90s through a lot of mismanagement. But it was an awesome, awesome place.
Oh, yeah. It was one of the most highly sought-after facilities in the world to go and record. You know, it's that thing. I've got such a mixed vibe about Prince. I, like, have so much respect for him when it comes
right.
to making music, being dedicated, trying to, you know, change the way artists and labels, you know, interact and things like that. I have, like, so much time for him. But he can be such a prick.
And to give an example, John, of the kind of, in case people don't realize, Paisley Park and working with Prince. Now see, this is what people have to understand. There was no day off when you worked with Prince. He gave you a beeper and you would come at the studio at any hour and you're dealing with somebody who was literally a vampire from Minneapolis. And I mean, you say James Brown is the hardest working man. He doesn't even come close. I hope David from Tennessee is listening, because it doesn't. There was no harder working man than Prince. There is no harder working man than Prince. He would work on Sundays, people. Freaking Sundays. 12, 13, 14 hours. Sometimes he would have a session where they would do rehearsal for 3 days. No change of clothes. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. I'm not kidding. John. The band were such monsters at being able to record. Check this out. They would record 5 songs in 2 hours, picture perfect, with all the parts. That's how good these guys were. All new songs.
Yeah.
Prince would come and say, all right, here's how you do it. You do this, they do this, and they would have different arrangements, a different setup, different instrumentation, and they would be able to do it in 2 hours.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable the kind of stuff, the kind of output that they had at Paisley Park once they turned the lights on and turned those consoles on.
Yeah.
But, and there was story after story of how many people went through burnout, of how they got fired. It's just a complete madhouse. It still is a madhouse, but back in the late 80s and the mid 90s, I mean, it was just session after session after session. And see, here's the thing that people don't realize about Prince, is the fact that when he decided to set up Paisley Park, he didn't just have a studio for music people. He had a video production team there as well. So when he wasn't recording the song, he was making the damn video right there at the studio with the whole wardrobes, the extras, everything, instructing people what to do. That's why it was a total madhouse, because if he wasn't rehearsing, he was recording. And if he wasn't recording, he was making some music video that was never going to come out for an unreleased song that was vaulted.
He's an unusual character. There's no doubt about it, you know. And, you know, the mismanagement that he went through was, like, huge. And Warner's screwed him big time. I mean, I still think he's never actually made a penny on anything Purple Rain, film, album, or otherwise.
Well, I think part of the problem with the misconception of that, what people don't realize, is that Prince was given so many vehicles and millions of dollars to do startup for projects. I mean, for those people who don't know, he's the one who basically sparked Carmen Electra to come on the scene. So if you don't like Carmen Electra, Prince is responsible. He coined the name. He just basically created the character out of nothing. He knows how to create imaginary pop culture characters like no other. That was another one of his gifts. He was able to, like Sheila E.
Oh, and like, did she need? Why did she act? That's one I've never actually understood. She is the daughter of one of the greatest percussionists that has ever walked this earth.
Right.
She should have been a star just because she was the daughter of.
Well, you see, what happened is when you get with Prince, Prince wants to make people into a star vehicle if they're willing to be shaped and molded by him.
Yeah.
So what happened is Sheila was known to play, to be, you know, a virtuoso percussionist. But what she wasn't known to be was a star out in front with the spotlight completely on her. And
right.
That's what Prince's expertise was making her that star for the mid to late 80s. And, you know, it's an example of the ability that Prince had to make these, you know, for those people who don't know, you can look at a band like The Time, which was basically Prince and the Shadows writing and playing everything. You can hear his background vocals. And, I mean, basically he would create – this is the craziest thing about – this. Well, we mentioned it before, John. This is the craziest thing about Prince. He would create a band – that was literally, that he would literally be scared of, but it would be his music, but he would be afraid that they would end up kicking his ass on stage. So he would literally try to sabotage him, you know, give him the less budget. And, I mean, that's the kind of craziness you're dealing with. But anyways, John, there's great recollections of, George Clinton stories on there that are just, oh my God, John, just crazy. Like one, for example, is a guy, one of the pizza delivery man comes through and, one of the engineers says, you know, he records music and George Clinton's like, he does. He's like, well, put a tape in and let's hear it. So they put a tape in. It's not even looped or mic'd properly. It sounds like a 4-track demo. It's really cheesy. And George is smoking and baked so high, he's like, you know what? That sounds good. Let's put that in the background. So he takes the pizza man delivery man's loop and they put it in the background. And see, here's the thing about working at Paisley Park and working with artists like this who work spontaneously like this on the fly. Is that there is really no preparation for it. You just have to depend on the people around you because there really is no second chances when you live in Princeville. It's now or never. That's the way it works. And there is no patience or tolerance or anything. It's like, you gotta hook it up. I'm waiting.
That's why I make the buddy Rich connection. I mean,
yeah.
You know, with him, And you know, like Prince, he wrote all the arrangements. He knew where every note on every part was supposed to hit. And man, you missed something, even if it wasn't noticeable to the audience. Your ass was canned. I watched a first chair trumpet player get fired in the middle of the gig, seeing a buddy at the Cool Jazz Festival in New York. And I watched this guy miss the first note of the head after coming back from, you know, Buddy's, you know, crazy free time solo where he basically goes, 4, and everybody's got to be in him 1. And I happened to be looking at the horn players at the time, and you could see the first chair guy just kind of let note 1 go by because he was going to miss it. So instead of, you know, having a big raspberry, he let it go by. But there's 5 other trumpet players. No one's going to know. End of the tune, Buddy turns around, points to him, you watch the guy fold up his folder and just walk straight the fuck off the stage. He was never seen with the Buddy Band ever again.
I loved reading that Buddy Rich biography book. I thought it was really enlightening about his early days on with his parents growing up in the vaudeville America, the Tin Pally, Alley.
I haven't read that book. I have to read that.
You know, John, here's the interesting thing about it. The reason why Buddy Rich was so amazing with his footwork is he lets a secret in the book that a lot of people don't really know firsthand, was he was trained in vaudeville tap dancing.
Yeah, it's Steve Gadd, same technique. It's a tap dancing technique that you can use with a foot, and it's a rocking motion. And,
right.
And I remember when I first found this out about Steve Gadd, and an old guitar player's mom said, "Oh, what does he do?" And she used to tap, and she was able to sit down behind my drum kit. This sure shattered the ego of a 17-year-old. And sat down at the kit and just all of a sudden went, and I'm like going, "You're kidding me." Hey, in that book, does he talk about the first time that he goes to go see Louis Belson's band play?
I'm not able to recollect specific types of stories. It's been a while since I read it.
I'll have to check out the book because this is my single favorite Buddy Rich tale of all time. And yeah, we got plenty of time. When Louis Belson first kicked onto the scene, you know, he kind of introduced the double bass drum kit to big band, and you know, his band was, you know, much more on the progressive jazz kind of vibe. And so, you know, as Louis's starting to get some stature and whatnot, Buddy hears about this really hot drummer, this really hot band, so he's got to go see him. So he goes to the gig the one night, and word gets back to Louis that God is in the building, you know. And in between sets, because, you know, this was at a time where, like, you know, these bands would come out and do, like, you know, 2, 3, 4 sets and actually take breaks. And so between set breaks, Buddy goes backstage and he's like, "Man," he goes, "I love the band. It's awesome. I love the complex time signature stuff. It's just fantastic. Arrangements are great." You know, here's Louis just like going, "Wow, I'm being praised by God." And without a break, he says, "But I still reckon I can play more notes per minute on one kick drum than you can on two." And Louis just looks at him and he's like going, "This will be an easy win." They bet 10 grand on this. And we're talking, this is like the early 1970s. 10 grand was a serious amount of money.
Yeah.
While the band's doing their last two sets, someone's on, makes some phone calls, they get a record, they get a guy with a tape machine and whatnot, and they set up backstage, one kick drum, two kick drums. So Louis goes first, gets down those two kick drums and just gives it all he can get. Buddy sits down at the one kick and just kind of goes firing off, and the tape engineer says, "Okay, I'm going to go and figure out everything," and Louis just says, "No, fuck it, just go get my fucking checkbook." I lost. No one has to count. I lost. It's just like, "Your band's really great, but don't get a fat head, kiddo. I'll level you."
Hey, John, have you ever heard the Max Roach versus Buddy Rich album? The drum battle?
Oh, not in bloody years.
That's an amazing record for people who aren't. Who really want to check out Buddy Rich, if you guys are really, really interested in it. And, if people have not heard a full Buddy Rich album, it was really innovative for its time, because you had one speaker, you had on the, I don't know if it was the left or right, on the left you had Buddy Rich's band, and on the right you had Max Roach's band. It's really an example of what you could do with audio technology, and it also is an example of the times what you wouldn't be able to do today, especially on a major label when everyone was going jazz crazy. And the fact that they were able to make a drum battle record and to actually pull it off with two bands in the same studio, pretty much, I think they were mic'd live or whatever. It's pretty amazing, and it's a great sounding album, and you get these, I can't tell you who won though. That, I won't spoil it for you.
Well, and the other album that I'd recommend for the uninitiated, and if you can find it, you might have to find it used, cause I don't know how available the reissue is, but there's an album called, Buddy Rich Live at Ronnie Scott's, which is a legendary jazz club in the UK. And this is, like, you get all the vibe of just an absolutely jumping, you know, jazz venue. That with people that are fired up, not like modern day yuppie jazz fans that, you know, want it to be, you know, completely non-confronting in the background. We're talking like pounding horns and, you know, pounding rhythms and whatnot. But it opens up with one of the tracks that Buddy wrote called Dancing Men, which is just this double time, get fucked ride cymbal thing that I really don't know many people that could even play that fast just one-handed and having it be that varied all the time. And this little English voice comes up and says, and now to introduce a most fantastic band led by the world's greatest drummer, ladies and gentlemen, Buddy Rich. And suddenly the head kicks in and the horns rip your skull cap off. And, you know, and I mean, we're talking, it was like recorded in like 1973, probably live, direct to two-track. I bet that there was no post-mixing whatsoever in this, and it sounds just awesome.
I think, well, let me see. I think I found the link for it.
I know that
for just listening purposes.
Yeah. It's actually an album that I need to replace because I kept looking for it for a while and it hadn't been reissued. I think it was reissued maybe just a couple of years ago. It's one of those great examples of what a live recording should feel like. You should feel like you're in the room, not in a studioed version of what they captured on the night. It actually feels like you're in a gig, and I just, that's rare. It's up there with Waiting for Columbus and Little Feet.
I hear you, John. And the other thing I wanted to talk about was a little bit of politics. I think we should give props to the Obama administration for two things this week that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, but I think it's notable. The first is the passing of the legislation of the hate crimes bill.
Yeah, absolutely. Way too long for that to happen.
And also, John, the second thing, which I don't think, I think it's not, maybe relatable to us and our family members, but I think it's important, is the passing of the citizens with HIV can now go to foreign countries, whereas before in a certain they had certain restrictions in certain areas. So I think that's cool that the Obama administration finally set that right.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there's weird things too, like in America, like if you had hepatitis C, even if you're cured, they might not let you in, which doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
I hear you, John, and it's good to see things like that, but you know, on the negative side, on the downside of the Obama administration is we all know what's on our doorstep, which is the announcement of X amount of troops that they're going to do for additional forces in Afghanistan. And I just have to say that this is going to be such a disaster if he even puts 2, 3, 4, I don't care how many troops he puts in, it's still going to be an equal amount of disaster.
Well, yeah, I was talking about this a little earlier in the show and kind of got into a circular thing because, you know, all this news that's been breaking about, like, Karzai's brother, you know, involved in the hair in the opium trade and all of that is very likely on the CIA payroll. So we have an installed guy who, you know, gets returned to office by election fraud. As the recounts, the runoff is announced that it needs to happen, the other guy steps out of the race. Creepy. We seem to be falling back into we're really good fucking drug runners now, aren't we? State of being over in Afghanistan. And again, this idea that we have, that we're like paying both sides. How the fuck are we supposed to, you know, it's like, why, like you're saying, why are we going to throw more, you know, valuable human lives at something that is just in a perpetual just clusterfuck and going nowhere? And, you know, if it's saving, you know, why are we still there? This is the question that I keep asking. And I'm hoping that with everything that's happened, especially in this last week with Afghanistan, with it really being shown that, that the poll was bullshit, and the fact that we have these two brothers on either side of the law in a lawless country, both being supported by us, that, you know, announcing another 15,000 troops, I agree with you, isn't going to make the problem any better. But my question is then, what is it that we can do in this situation? I don't think we should have ever gone there, but it's that classic situation. We're there now. How do we get out?
We take a plane.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, you can be really, really cut and dry, and just, and that's what I was saying before. Well, let's just get the fuck out. Let's just get out. But you can't just pull that many troops out that quick without putting them in serious jeopardy.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I think increasing the. I don't think the right thing to do is increase the jeopardy, and bring in more troops. My problem with this, John, is the fact that, you know, we aren't having people again, and this is a common pattern that we have with us, since we are an empire and we are a superpower, and people need to realize that, since we are an empire and a superpower, we will always be untruthful to each other. Automatically, because the stakes are so high regarding our status as a superpower. So, you know, that's the reason why we're so lied to every day in our media, in this nation. And I think part of the problem, John, is the fact that if nobody's going to be honest with us, then we have to start realizing what it is as a country, what we have to do, which is we have to put even more pressure on the fact that, as with, you know what Robert Greenwald is doing with Rethink Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And that's commendable. The pressure has to be on in every regard, and you can't let Obama and a lot of the, and John, I'm going to tell you something that is really, really, is really embarrassing, that should be really embarrassing to the left, which is the fact that everyone's just dropped, Cindy Sheehan like a stone because she keeps talking about Afghanistan.
Yeah, and I think one of those things, one of those calls that the Obama campaign made in the campaign was, separating Iraq as the bad war and Afghanistan as the good war. And that was kind of going halfway of not being a wimp-ass Democrat and, you know, and what we should be doing. And now he's gotten himself cornered. And the only thing that I can hope is that, you know, one thing that I am kind of thankful for is the fact that he isn't making knee-jerk decisions. I do actually think they're trying to figure out what the fuck to do in Afghanistan. You know, it wasn't their mess when they got in. They inherited the mess. And in my mind, they can take as much time as they want if they come up with some sort of a plan to get us the hell out of there and to, you know, try and limit the damage as much as we possibly can. But it's going to be ugly no matter what. And I think no matter whether it's with 15,000 more troops or not, 6 months or 6 years, the time is going to come when we're going to end up having to leave Afghanistan with our tail between our legs and look to the world and say, yeah, we fucked it all up, but we're going to need your help to try and fix it. But, you know, we're going to get out and stop creating the mess. And, you know, you get down into the whole situation with Pakistan, too. You know, we backed the illegal guy for years, and now we've got a government that really is a bit limited in their power, which is really unfortunate.
Well, John, not to put on the impending doom scenario, but I still think that this country is addicted to war on a scale we've ever seen, and I would think that if they leave Afghanistan, my pessimistic side says, okay, where is it that they want to set up shop now and invade and say, this is a fight that we need to engage in?
It is a
fight for survival.
And I agree with you, and we're coming up on something that was starting to take place before we went into Iraq, which I actually believe was the trigger for why we went into Iraq when we did, was we now have nations looking at trading oil in something other than U.S. dollars. And the moment that the U.S. dollar is bumped off as the oil trading currency, that's when the United States falls over. And this is all starting to happen again, and the United States economy is extremely weak right now, and because we've continued to go down this whole idea of continuing to be stuck to the oil standard and being the only way that we power things, our wars, our food production, everything else, since we've been so short-sighted to get off of that shit, where I really think that once that daily cash float of all the oil traded around the world suddenly comes to a halt, the United States has serious problems, and the joke of a health care bill that looks like it might go through unless some serious changes are made, I thought was the last chance that the United States had to actually save its economy. But I think we're going to end up fucking that one up, too. And that one should have been such an easy no-brainer.
Well, you know, John, before we close out, I just want to give, once again, props to Alan Grayson.
Absolutely.
Who has put up a website for people who don't know. I don't know if you mentioned on your program yet, John, but congressmanwithguts.com. And he said something on the Tom Hartman show, which I found funny. He said, surprisingly, no one had requested that domain yet. And he said, we got it for like 40 cents. So...
That's how rare it is to have a Democrat with a spine like that. You gotta love the guy. And, I think I've been there. I hadn't gotten to mention it yet, but I've been planning on it, but, you know, we get talking. But yeah, it's a great website. I love him. I think he's doing great work by just kind of going, you know, screw you guys. You're fucked up, and I'm gonna say that you're fucked up.
And also, John, before I go, he's doing, for those people who are curious, he's doing a money bomb in a few days. So if you're interested, go to that website, and you should get the details there. But also, one last thing I wanted to comment on was the your fellow Aussie citizen, Jessica Watson, who is sailing around the world right now.
Yeah.
And she has a blog site if people are interested. I'm sure if you could type in, I don't know the exact name of her blog site, but if you type in Jessica Watson blog, she should probably come up with it. And she keeps a pretty much called youngestround.blogspot.com. So if you go to youngestround.blogspot.com, for those people who don't know, Jessica Watson is a 16-year-old. And she's going to be out to sea for over 240 days while she does her school work and has to cook her own meals and fend for herself in the great blue yonder that is the sea. So That's interesting to me in the fact that a 16-year-old's able to do that with the technology that we have now, and I wish her all the luck in the world, and I hope she beats the record, and I hope it encourages a lot of other kids and a lot of teenagers to do a similar adventurous things, because I think one of the problems, John, and we've talked about it before I leave, is the fact that so many kids and so many teenagers are given incentive of how they should be defined as and what they can do and what they can't do. And they're always kept in a box of saying, well, you're only this age and you shouldn't let that, deter you in any way. So I think she's an inspiration for women, and I also think she's an inspiration for teenagers. And John, I think it's pretty cool if she sets the record and it's from your home place.
Yeah, I think it's really cool too. And before she left, some busybodies tried to stop it, saying that it was somehow child abuse like. And
wow.
And you know, the parents are just like, hell no. She's really good. And we believe she can do this. If we didn't believe she could do this, we wouldn't be letting her do this. And there was a little bit of a moment where it all kind of got thrown up in the air, and I think saner voices came to pass and said, yeah, you know what, it's scary. And within her first couple of days, she was actually asleep and kind of ran into a boat, but all's fine. And
you know, she probably talks to her parents on Skype every day, for God's sake.
Yeah,
so,
they've got her all hooked up, you know. So it's all good.
Yeah, they are all hooked up. But anyways, John, it's great talking to you. It's about 11:55. I know you have to close out the show. I've got some music for next week that I think you're going to be very impressed with, and I consider it pretty badass.
Okay.
And it is a bit Prince related. But it's not related to how you think it is, and I think a lot of people will be surprised by who I bring to the table next week.
Yeah. I look forward to it, because we got to start doing this. We've talked about it. You start delivering me a track a show, and now that I'm back doing shows every week, you can actually deliver me a track a show.
All right, let's hope for next week that you're going to be on, John.
The filter's been removed from the system, and this connection stayed good all night. I'll figure out what the frame rate thing was, but this has been solid all night long, not one backup. So I think we found the culprit, and I'm very happy about that.
As always, mate, nice talking to you.
All right, my friend, David.
Glad to be back on the air, and I look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
Right on, man. You take care. Thanks so much. And that's our good friend, David from Maine, pop culture correspondent, and, you know, guy's got his head around a lot of stuff. It's great. And, I mean, you know, he's one of the few people that can turn around and say, you mean you haven't heard of this? I've known about this for years. Like that Lost Fishbone album. But anyway, it's getting to be about time to get out of here. And I did actually have a Frank Zappa song queued up. And we've run out of time, which is a bummer. So I'll save it for next time. Because actually, we haven't played enough Zappa on this program recently. We used to do a lot on Fourth Estate because old Bruce Birch was a Zappa fanatic. And but, you know, it's been good. It's been really good to be back. I hope we have. If you're a new listener, drop us an email. John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. You know, we'll be back next week. We'll do this thing all over again as we do. And that's what we want. So thanks for being here, folks. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives. We couldn't do this without you, mates. Thanks to Scott Berry at B1 Ladder Productions in Sydney, Australia, for much of the music that gets played on this program. Thanks to Gene, our head news ninja, for everything he does. ELO and Lottie in the chat room. Love you guys. Be good. Be green. We'll see you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired, freaky people need not apply. So I took my hair up under my hat. I went in to ask him why.
at the house. Hey, what gives you the right?